Now, I've got a question. Do you ever have to wait for anything? Some of you say yes. What do you wait for, those who said yes? Yeah. Oh, you have to wait for an hour till you can play your Nintendo, yeah?
I have to wait until 7 o'clock till I can play my iPad.
7 o'clock till you can play on your iPad. Do you guys do anything other than play on games and things? Yes, down here. What do you have to wait for? An hour to play in the Xbox. I can see a theme going on here. That's fine. You can put your hands down now. So what about waiting for Christmas? Does anyone wait for Christmas?
Yes!
What about waiting to go back to school?
Yes!
Okay. So I want to find out how you feel about waiting to go back to school. So if you can't wait to go back to school, put your hand up. And if you really can wait to go back to school, put your hand up. Yeah, quite a few. Okay, it's about half and half. Now, when you're waiting, do you sometimes blame people? So what about if your mum hasn't got your tea yet? Do you say, "Mum, why is it not ready yet? I'm starving." Do you ever do that? Really? I suggest you don't do that, actually, because mums don't like that. But anyway, okay, shh. Someone else has been waiting for a very long time, okay? This guy is called Joseph. Do you remember? We've been learning about Joseph. He's been waiting for a very long time. You see, it's 10 years since that time when his brothers tried to kill him and sold him as a slave, and now he's in prison. So 10 years has gone by, and he's now in prison. That's a long time. 10 years? That's crazy. That's like twice as long as some of you have been alive. If you're 5 years old, that's like, wow, amazing. That's a long, long time. Now, all this time, Joseph has been waiting, hasn't he? Waiting for what God showed him in two dreams. Do you remember we talked about the dreams were something dreams? What was it? Can you remember the word that came before? Yes.
Double dreams.
Double dreams. So I'm going to call them double dreams. Is that right? Double dreams. Okay. If I can survive. Okay, cool. So he's been waiting for these double dreams to happen, and that was that his family was going to bow down before him, but it still hasn't happened yet. How do you think Joseph's feeling about that? Waiting for 10 years, how do you think he feels?
Sad.
Bored. Yep.
Hungry.
Sorry?
Extreme.
Extremely bored. I think he's going to, you can put your hands down, I think he'll be really fed up. Now, in the Bible, so when we have our little groups together, there's a big, thick book, and that's called the Bible. And that's where this true story all about Joseph comes from. And in the Bible, there's nothing about Joseph being complaining or being fed up, even after all those things that have happened to him so far. Because all this time, Joseph has been trusting God that what God showed him in his double dream will happen one day. Now, we've already seen this week that God is in charge. Caroline was talking about that yesterday. And we've seen that because when Joseph was sold as a slave to the slave traders, that was because God was in charge, and it meant that his brothers didn't kill him. And God was with Joseph when he was a slave, and he impressed his boss and was put in charge of the whole household. And God was with Joseph when he was in prison, and he was impressing the prison guard, and the prison guard put him in charge of all the prisoners. Well, now he's in prison. Two new prisoners arrive. Anyone remember who they were? Put your hands up. Yes, you are super fast.
The wine taster.
The wine taster. Okay, yeah, we've got a wine taster. Here's a wine taster. What was the other one over at the back? The baker. Yeah, that's right. So the king's wine taster and the king's baker. And after some time, they've been in prison. They both have dreams on the same night. Now, do you guys ever have dreams? Yeah? When you wake up, after a few minutes, can you completely remember your dreams?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you can probably remember everything. I had a dream the other night, in fact. Let me tell you about my dream. It was really weird. There was a tree, and there was a man, and he got like a spray, paint spray gun, and he was spraying the tree, partly blue, and the rest yellow. And then it was like, I don't know what happened next. But then later, the only other thing I remember about it was there was a man with a big ginger beard and he was covered in paint. Weird, right? But it doesn't make any sense. And also, I can't really remember what happened in between those other bits and pieces. But these guys, it's different because they remember every single thing about their dream. It's really clear to them. And there's a reason for that. You see, in those days, dreams was one of the ways that God spoke to his people. So dreams then were really, really important. And that's why God made sure that they could remember all the information in them. Well, these guys, they both have dreams. The dreams are different, but they have a meaning. But they don't know what the meaning is. They don't understand, and nobody can tell them. So they're quite worried and sad. Well, Joseph is there with them, and he tells them that God, only God, knows the meaning because God gave them the dreams. But if they tell the dreams to Joseph, he can find out. God will tell him what they mean. And that's what happens. So the dreams mean that something's going to happen to each of these people after 3 days. So who can tell me what's going to happen to this dude here, the wine taster, who hasn't answered anything yet? Right down the front, Amelia. Yeah, brilliant. He's going to get free from prison. Ah, oh, great. Good stuff. So what about the baker then? I bet he's well excited. Yes, in the orange at the back. Yeah, he's going to get his head chopped off in 3 days. Oh dear. It's not very good for the baker, is it? Put your hands down. Well, they're only dreams. I mean, perhaps it won't happen, right? Oh, no. But these dreams, they're messages from God. And what he says will happen is going to happen because he's in charge of everything. And sure enough, that's what happens to them. Well, when Joseph explained the meaning of the dreams, he also said something to this man here, the wine man. He said, you don't need to tell me, he said, please remember me, tell the king about me so that I can get out of prison. But Joseph was thinking, that's great. The wine taster gets back to the king and he forgets all about Joseph. So Joseph ends up in prison for another 2 years. Well, so 2 years later, the king, this king hasn't got the fancy headdress on that the other one had in the drama this morning. The king has two dreams, and they are double dreams. No one can explain the meaning of the dreams to him. And finally, at last, the wine taster, he remembers Joseph in prison. Hoorah! Joseph is brought before the king and asks him to explain the meaning of the double dreams. Joseph is God's chosen ruler. Okay, we learned a bit about that as well. And because he's God's chosen ruler, he says, again, that he can't explain the dreams, only God can. So the king tells him the dreams. Now, these are a bit weird, these dreams, aren't they? So, I got this the wrong way around earlier, so it didn't really make sense. The king dreamed that he saw seven fat cows coming out of the river and they eat some grass. Yum, 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 lovely grass. Then he sees seven thin cows come up out of the grass. And then, it's a bit weird, isn't it? Because the cows go, oh, I like those fat cows. I'm going to eat them up. And they eat them up. But weirdly, the cows stay thin. They don't get any fatter, even though they've eaten all that food. That doesn't happen to me. When I eat all that food sort of thing, I get bigger. Anyway, that was his first dream. So let's put that one on the board here. That was his first dream, wasn't it? With the seven fat cows and the seven thin cows. But then he has another dream because it's a double dream. And in this one, there are seven fat heads of grain. Yum, yum, yum. And then seven thin things that are just burnt, aren't they? They're burnt by the hot winds come up and they gobble up these ones. Gobble, 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 gobble. And then the fat ones are all gone. The good ones, healthy ones, they're all gone. So that was his second dream. Those dreams are a really bit weird, aren't they? And poor Pharaoh, the king, well, he doesn't understand what they mean. Not surprising, really. So, God showed Joseph that both of those dreams mean the same thing. And he says it's because it's a double dream. You can be sure that this will happen. And it's going to happen soon. And he explains the seven big, fat, healthy cows and the seven grains, good and healthy ones there, then they are for 7 years, where there's going to be loads and loads and loads of food, more than they can eat. There we go. For 7 years. Fantastic. And then the seven thin cows and the thin and burnt heads of grain. Well, they're for 7 years after all the food, when there's going to be no food grown at all. That's what we call a famine. So, hang on a minute. If there's no food for 7 years, what would that be like, do you think?
Weird.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to starve to death, aren't they? I mean, I don't know. I struggle sometimes to wait until lunchtime. Can you imagine? 7 years, no food. But that's what happens in this story here. There'd be 7 years with no food, nothing to eat. That's terrible. You're right. Everyone is going to die if they can't eat anything. They're in real danger, aren't they? That's the danger for them, that they're going to have no food. If only there was a way for them to be saved from it. They need someone to rescue them. Well, God is in charge of the whole world, and he knows this is going to happen. Now, I just wanted to tell you, I went on holiday a few weeks ago, and we went to somewhere where there was the seaside and there was a harbour, and all the lifeboat guys were out there doing some training and practicing. So let me show you a video of this. Here we go. So look, you can see them in their boats bombing around, learning, making sure they can do sharp turns in case they have to steer around something. Maybe there's a person in the water going, help, help, save me. So, you know, they do that. And then there's a bigger boat as well. And look, it can spin around really fast. And they can do all sorts of things. And they practice. Because if they practice that, then they know what to do. They've got a plan. There's another one going out. So he's shooting out. Maybe he's going to go and rescue someone. It's exciting. But they do it so they have a plan, so they know what to do. Put your hand down. And God has told the king through the double dream what is going to happen. Joseph tells the king a plan. Just like those guys have got a plan, Joseph's going to tell the king a plan. So what he needs to do for the first 7 years, when there's more food than they can eat, they must store up all of that food so that for the next 7 years, when no food grows, they've got food saved up, and they won't starve to death. Well, someone needs to be in charge of that plan to get ready and make sure they don't all starve and die. And the king, he can think of no one better than Joseph. I mean, after all, he talks to God, the one who showed him what was going to happen, and he told the king what to do. You see, that's because Joseph is God's rescuer. Here he is. So Joseph is given the job. Brilliant. And it's not just any job, though, because now he's in charge of rescuing the whole country of Egypt and actually the rest of the known world at that time. He is now the second most important person in the country. He's kind of like our prime minister. So we'll give him a little crown there just to show he's like the second most important. In fact, the only person more important than him was the king here in Egypt. So Joseph gets given special clothes. Do you remember they were putting that neck thing on, weren't they? Sort of a bit like that. And he was given a chariot so that people would know he was important. And all the people were told to do whatever Joseph tells them to. They must obey him. They must bow down to him. Whoa, that's a change from before. Do you remember, right at the beginning, his brothers were trying to kill him. He was thrown in a well. He was sold as a slave. He then got put in prison. But now he's the second most important person in the country, in charge of all that stuff. That means he's there to save and rescue God's people. And Joseph made sure that there was lots of food stored up for the 7 years. So much so, in fact, they even lost count. They didn't even bother counting how much they had. There was so much food. And then, when all the other food didn't grow, the 7 years later, then the people became hungry, and they went to the king, who told them, go and see Joseph, do whatever Joseph says. And Joseph sold them the grain so that they'd be able to eat and not starve to death. They'd been rescued. And this famine, where no food grew, was over the whole world. So actually, people from other countries also came to Egypt to get the grain as well. They were all rescued by Joseph, who's God's chosen ruler. Well, that's great, isn't it? It's a true story from the Bible, but What does that mean for us now? Actually, I'll come back a bit later and tell you about that. Now, we learned earlier, do you remember, how God is in charge of everything. And the people of Egypt and the rest of the known world at that time, they needed rescuing from starving. And God put Joseph at just the right place, at just the right time, to be his chosen ruler and his rescuer of all the people so that God's people wouldn't die. That's brilliant. Well, this week, we've also been learning about someone else. Who else have we been learning about? Can you remember? Yes.
Jesus,
yes, that's right. And we've been learning about how Jesus is just like Joseph, but he is something.
Better,
that's right, yeah. He is absolutely way, way, way better. So let's put that there. That says better. So Joseph was punished, wasn't he? And he was put in prison, even though he'd done nothing wrong. And he didn't deserve it. But even in prison, God was in control and put him in charge of the other prisoners. And just like Joseph, Jesus was also punished, even though he'd done nothing wrong and he was innocent. He also didn't deserve it. But he wasn't just put in prison, was he? Can you remember what happened to Jesus? Caroline mentioned it right at the end of her talk. Yes. Yeah, that's right. He got put on a wooden cross, didn't he? And he died. They killed him on a wooden cross. There we go. That's the one Caroline had up yesterday. But, do you know what? Even though it seems like it's the end with Jesus dying on the cross, God is in charge. It's all part of his plan. Well, Joseph has gone from being rejected by his family, sold as a slave, then put in prison, even though he'd done nothing wrong, and ends up as prime minister. He's second in charge of the country of Egypt, in charge of everything except the king himself. Wow. Well, God is still in charge and has raised Joseph up to be his chosen ruler to rescue his people at that time. But you know what? Joseph didn't live forever, and he ruled for only about 80 years. So let's change his crown. That says 80 years on there. Jesus is just like Joseph, but Jesus is way
better.
Brilliant. Yeah, he is way better. Jesus' dying on the cross wasn't the end. Because 3 days after Jesus died, God raised him back to life again. That's brilliant. Look at that. Jesus was alive, and Jesus is still alive today. And he is God's chosen ruler who rules forever. So we need to give him a forever crown, don't we? Because he's going to rule forever. There we go. Now, the people of Egypt were in danger. They needed saving from starving because there was going to be no food for 7 years. And without food, they're all going to die. And God provided Joseph, his rescuer, with a plan to store food for 7 years so that they had enough for when they had no food for the next 7 years, when the food wasn't growing. God's people, they were saved by God's chosen ruler and his rescuer. But you know what? Just like those people then were in danger of dying because they had no food, we're in danger too. Not from starving, not from being hungry, but from a thing called separation from God. You see, just like Joseph's brothers, they rejected Joseph as God's chosen ruler, we reject God as our chosen ruler. So here we go. We reject Jesus, God's chosen ruler. And that happens when we push him away, when we want to do our own thing instead of what he wants. And that puts a barrier between us and God. It separates us from him. Like that. There's a big barrier there. And the punishment for rejecting God, God's chosen ruler, is death. And so we all deserve to die because we all reject Jesus. And if we're not rescued, then we're going to be all dying forever. Wouldn't it be great, though? Sorry, where am I? Yes, wouldn't it be great, though, if somebody else could be punished instead of us? And this is what God's amazing rescue plan is for all of us with Jesus. You see, Jesus' rescue is like Joseph's, but Jesus' rescue is...
better!
Yeah, exactly. It's better, isn't it? Like we put down here. Jesus didn't deserve to die. He was innocent, and he's the only one who never, ever rejected God. But he took our place by dying on the cross so that we could be saved. Now, in the Bible, here's a Bible. You've been using this, haven't you, in your groups every day? There's a book in there called John, and in John, it says, John 3:16, it says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life." I'm glad you know that. That's great. So Jesus is God's son. That's what was talked about there. Jesus is God's son, and he's done what no one else can do. He's made it possible for us to be saved and live with him forever. God has raised Jesus up to be his chosen ruler, his chosen rescuer to save his people. And Jesus' rescue is for all the people in the world, in the past, now, and in the future. So that includes all of you, everyone in here, including me as well. And that's really great, because Jesus' rescue is for everyone. Well, do you remember on day one and day two, we talked about getting to the destination of enjoying living with God as King. Do you know what, though? We're not quite there yet. We haven't quite got to the end of this part here. In Egypt, the people had to go to Joseph to get food and be rescued from starving to death. And if we want to be rescued from death, the death we deserve for rejecting Jesus, then we need to go to Jesus. But actually, Caroline's going to tell us a lot more about that tomorrow.